Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, The Common Sense Show, and we're really glad you're with us. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we have the hamsters up and running to make sure that we stay on the air. Our guest that we'll go to in just a moment is Daisy Luther, and she's known worldwide for her great prepping skills, and she's got a great website. We're going to tell you all about that and what appears there. I mean, talking great articles, folks. But we had a heck of a time connecting. It's kind of like Sheila Zielinski, where we can't even communicate with each other now. She was giving me real-time reports from Canada, and someone decided, that's it. You're not going to talk to her by text, by cell, or by Skype, or by email. And Daisy and I just experienced some of this. We have spent, about 20 minutes trying to rectify this. So here we are. No worse for the wear. Before we start, I need to let you know that this segment of the program is brought to you by Food and Water. If you don't have your storable food, you're about ready to run out of time. I know the government, for a fact, is going to storable food companies, not ours, not MPS, but they have offered to buy them out. And I know that's true because I've had someone who works for one of them tell me this. I'm not going to identify because they're not my enemy. Now, it's a big pond out there and there's plenty of customers. So I won't betray a confidence, but that's going on. Inflation is also going to cause massive price increases. MPS has held the line on their prices. They still have a sale going on, which I find amazing. And you know all the particulars, 25-year shelf life and so forth. And it tastes good. I've tasted the food. You can live on this. So I would recommend that you order as much as you can, as fast as you can, by going to preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water. And if Putin makes good on his cyber grid threats, getting water could be problematic, and you would have to scavenge. And what would be water you can't drink can be made drinkable in most cases with a really good water filter, and the Alexa Pure Pro filter is a really good one. Their research is at waterwithdave.com, and you can look at it for yourself. They, too, have held the line on pricing, but I will tell you, I've represented them now for 4 years. They will run out. They don't plan for crises. They're pretty static in their manufacturing. They'll kick it up a little bit, but I will tell you this, they will run out as crisis continues to worsen, and our food and water filter sales are off the charts right now because people are recognizing the need to take care. And I would recommend you get more than one water filter. We have a few. As they say, two is one and one is none, so I would really recommend you do that. And you can do the 50-gallon drums. We have it too. But treating it is tricky, and I still wouldn't drink that water without filtering it first. So I hope you find that useful. And then finally, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. Coming out of the coming crisis, in which I believe the dollar eventually will collapse, and they'll try to stick some digital currency on us, gold will still hold its value. It's never failed to hold its value in the history of mankind. And silver, too. And Noble Gold can actually take your resources, and they can take a 401k, they can take an IRA and gold proof it, and it's going to come out on the other side. Now, I can't promise there won't ever be government confiscation because we're dealing with total communists right now. But in terms of being able to retain your property, like your home, your finances, and so forth, this is a really good strategy. I'm a customer of Noble Gold, and I would really highly recommend that you look at doing this because it's not so much the money that you make, it's the money you keep. And right now, you're kind of planning to come out the other side more intact than people who don't. And that means if you have large sums of money in the bank, you're going to get destroyed. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's true. These banks are not going to survive what's coming. So that's our report here. How do you get a hold of Noble Gold? Well, goldbeforelate.com. Goldbeforelate.com, and they'll send you free information. And they're the most low-pressure group I've ever dealt with. I had to close the sale on myself because they're trained to be that way. Well, Daisy Luther really needs no introduction. She's been a guest on both our TV show. Oh, my gosh, we did a great TV interview a few months ago when she talked about prepping in your own home. That was fantastic and so well received by you guys. Well, I wanted to bring her over on the radio side because we have just a little bit better reach, and that's largely because of our podcast reach, which has quadrupled in 3 months. And so what we're telling you is share this because I'm going to get into some topics with Daisy regarding her knowledge about the Balkans and what happened there when they went through something very similar to what Ukraine's going through. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think we're not being set up for food shortages, and so, and we are. I wrote an article this morning talking about, one part of the article was seven ways that the food shortages are going to worsen, and inflation's only one of the seven. So, Daisy, welcome to the show. We have a lot to unpack here. We really do. I don't know if you're surprised by all this, but I've been doing this 15 years, and I'm literally shocked.
I am pretty shocked, too, actually. it's not that I never thought it could happen. It's just shocking when it does. And, you know, you've got people who say, oh, yeah, you know, I've expected this all along. I really don't think that many people expected this precise situation. A pandemic, a depression, and a war.
Yeah, well, here's what we didn't expect. Daisy, you know, Trump dealt with problems, too. Reagan dealt with problems, too. The problem is that they weren't traitors. And I never envisioned that we would go through our most challenging times in our nation's history, and I think we're on the cusp of this, with a traitor running the government. And also, too, the Republicans are they're not much better than the Democrats who have sold out to the globalists. It's crazy. I've read articles recently, 38 out of 50 governors are under some measure of control by the Chinese.
Wow.
And listen, I'm from Arizona, and I immersed myself in the voter fraud aspect of Maricopa County and the audit that became the fraudit. Our governor, I can tell you right now, but my research uncovered this. It connected to the election, and I wasn't looking for this. It's just what came to me as I was looking at voter fraud. He's under the control of China. In fact, not only is he under the control of China, he said in National Governors Association speech in 2017, when they had the equivalent of the Chinese, I don't know what you call them, Chamber of Commerce, whatever they had called themselves, he said to 49 governors and these Chinese, oh, we love doing business with the Chinese. They need rare earth minerals for their military, and we're happy to supply it for them out of Arizona.
Good grief.
If that isn't treason, I don't know what is. And by the way, this has been well documented. It's not what someone told me that was there. It's what's in print.
Yeah.
So we have treason, and I didn't think we'd have treason at our darkest hour, at our biggest challenge. And that's what I think really scares me the most. Because if we go to war with Russia, or if China attacks Taiwan and we have to respond militarily, I don't trust this administration not to set us up to lose.
And not only do I not trust them, but they're just weak. Even if I trusted them and thought they had our best interests at heart, they're very weak. They don't follow through with things. They've abandoned Americans in other countries twice now.
Yes.
And there's no element of fear for other countries. They can do anything they want, and they know that we're not really going to respond. And that's just mind-blowing, the weakness.
If Trump had violated a standing constitutional principle and statute, he would have indeed been impeached. And Biden is ignoring Article 42, which is immigration. He's facilitating fentanyl. He's facilitating child trafficking and all the other criminal stuff that's crossing our border through his criminal negligence. And nothing will ever be done to him.
Agreed.
Yeah, it is. And so here's kind of where I think we're leading. It's like the 1,000 Americans trapped behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. Some people say it's 9,000. In fact, Reuters said it was 9,000 Americans. Mainstream media saying it's 1,000. If it's one, it's too many. But I think what that message to us is, Daisy, is that we are on our own.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Government will not help us.
I believe that 100%.
No, I know. Like, have you heard about the WNBA player Brittany Griner that was arrested for hashish oil?
Yeah.
You know, in with past presidents that had been on the phone, they'd have said, okay, look, this is not part of your deal. This isn't part of our conflict. Send her home, ban her from the country. And that probably would have happened. Now she's probably going to go to prison.
Yeah. for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If she survives. And she's also married to a woman. And over there, that is punishable by the death penalty. So
then what was she going over there for? I know she was playing in a pro basketball league there, but knowing that's the law and what her status is, how could she think she'd get away with that?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I certainly, if I were in her shoes, would not have gone over there.
No.
So, I mean, if she makes it out live, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But this is kind of where we're at. But I want to draw upon your experience and knowledge with regard to Croatia and other parts of the Balkans that we went through in the 90s. And I want to talk about those conditions as they relate to what the people, the citizens of Ukraine are probably going through at this moment.
Right. Well, I've talked to Selko a couple of times since the war started. And he said, you know, it's just remarkably similar to what happened to him during the 1990s. And when I went over there for a survival course, we went to some old abandoned bombed out places to do our course. And it looked a lot like what we're seeing on TV or on the internet or whatever, like the pictures of the bombed out buildings mm-hmm. that are just, you know, empty shells that don't have floors, you know, rubble everywhere, danger everywhere. The chance of just getting shelled anytime you take a step, the chance of stepping on a landmine, I mean, it's just insane. It is so similar. It is like, it's like deja vu. I swear you could put pictures from today next to pictures from the 1990s and say, pick the modern one. And unless they were wearing some really modern clothing, you would not be able to tell the difference. It looks identical.
We just had a cutout. Okay. I heard you. You couldn't hear me. Anyway.
I heard, okay. I'm glad you heard me. I heard you though.
Just fine, and you came through. I'm watching the meter here because our communications are being directly interfered with. But I will tell you this. We'll look at this as the good old days because there's coming a time when people like Gigi Sohn are going to be on the FCC, and they will vote us off the internet.
Yep.
That's not far away.
I know. It's pretty scary.
It's truly scary. In fact, I'm checking our settings here, and I'm not sure we haven't been messed with. I think we're okay. But,
okay.
Yeah, I hope we're coming through on the recording end. This is just insane that we have to go through this here. Okay, but this is, folks, this is, you know, we go through this, you know, that with Doug Thornton, we've gone through this a few times. And there's something about you. I wonder if it's related to a case that we don't want to talk about on air. And they're afraid you're going to tell me about it. My big mouth will repeat it over and over.
I have no idea, but I've just, it's been a rough year. It has really been quite a year. And, you know, compared to most survival websites, I think that I'm pretty mellow and low key, but because of that, we reach more people. So maybe that's the reason that I have somehow become a target.
Oh yeah. That's definitely true. But what they don't like about you, and I thought about this the last time we talked, and we talked about, you know, a previous challenge you had had. And I don't think it's your content at all. I think it's you're selling the spirit of freedom and independence. They don't want people who can live outside the system. They want to control your food. They want to control your water so they can control your rights.
Yes.
That's why I think they don't like you.
Well, I guess they're going to have to just keep not liking me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to stop.
No, but do you see what I'm saying? Your content is
Yeah.
very middle of the road. Your stuff could be on Fox or ABC or anybody else, and I don't think people would say, "Oh, that's radical." No, you're just teaching people how to take care of themselves, and you're
Yes.
not presuming anything. But I think that the reason that we're having trouble, and you've had trouble in the past, is because they don't want people to be independent of the system. I'll give you an example. I have a neighbor lives in our rural area here, and he's the most handy guy I've ever met. And he got his utility bill down to about $16 a month. And the utility
Wow.
company came out and says, "You can't do that." And he didn't touch their equipment. It's just what he did inside his place. And what he did was perfectly legal. And he told them to go pound sand, and they can't do anything. But this is what they'll do. They want you in their system no matter what.
This is very true.
Yeah, so how dare you teach people to be independent?
Yeah, that's why they call prepping hoarding.
You know where we really first saw this? How familiar are you with the Martha Stewart case?
Fairly.
Because
You're
she
talking
didn't
about
break it.
a
She didn't break
cider
any
picking case.
laws.
No, I
They
know.
sent her to prison because they lied about her lying, and it was their word versus hers. It had nothing to do with why they were investigating her.
Really? I didn't know
You didn't know
that.
that? Oh yeah. Yeah, they got her on
No.
making false statements to federal officials. And that's what sent her to prison. And this is why I tell people, when they show up at your door, you tell them Fifth Amendment, not talking to you till I have a lawyer. Fifth Amendment. Got anything to hide? Fifth Amendment. Fifth Amendment.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, okay, so let's talk about what the challenges are right now with people in Ukraine. What are they facing on a daily basis? And I'm talking the average person, not the soldier.
Well, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing people trying to escape the country. We're seeing people trying to hunker down in their houses, and we're seeing them get shelled and bombed and, missiles and soldiers in the streets and all that kind of stuff. So obviously it's incredibly unsafe in that way. But the other thing you have to think about with all of this bombing and all of this wreckage, their infrastructure is pretty much destroyed.
Yes.
Not only the roads, but their electrical, their internet. Although, I don't know if you know that Elon Musk airdropped a bunch of Starlink internet receptors there or receivers to Ukraine so they could stay on the internet.
Yeah, I Elon Musk is actually coming out of this looking pretty good. He called out Biden because here we are. We condemn Putin and we do meaningless sanctions. We don't do the one thing that should have been done to stop his war effort, and that's to embargo his oil. And we didn't do it because we won't produce our own oil, because somewhere Mother Earth knows, in ecology reasons and environmental reasons, American oil must be worse for the environment than Russian oil. I mean, it's so ridiculous. This doesn't even make any
Right.
sense. And Elon Musk came out and says, and here's a guy who will benefit from a transition from petroleum-based cars to electric cars, because he holds the lion's share on it. And he was telling Biden publicly, "You need to produce oil." And he's coming out of this
Yes.
looking really good. And then he does the airdrop with Starlink. Yeah, this is he's actually looking very good right now.
And the
And
other thing he did, and I really respected this. Even though, I'm not like a big fan of Russia, but when he was asked to block their internet, he said, "No, I'm a free speech absolutist." And so he's not blocking Russia from the internet. And I think that's good. I really wish that people in control of our country were as open to people being able to disagree.
I have a theory about that.
Oh,
Why
yeah?
the government's getting corporations and electronic communications facilities to say no Russia, no Russia anything, because they're making Russia the enemy. But how long will it be till we say no to what they want to do to us, to where we're the enemy and they do the exact same thing to us? And I said before, I believe Canada was a beta test in that regard, and I think that's where this is headed. And that's why they won't do it. That's why they don't respect free speech, because they're going to demand complete compliance and you're not going to be allowed to resist.
Yeah, I agree with you there about Canada being a beta test. Absolutely.
Well, let's go to food. When do people start starving in Ukraine? What would you guess about this?
So I am guessing that people are already having difficulty. I'm going to say there's probably not grocery stores and deliveries being made, just at least to most of the country, based on what we're seeing on the news. And you have to understand that everything that I am saying is based on the information available to me, and that information may be biased propaganda, and it may not even be true.
Right.
But let's make the assumption that what we're seeing in Ukraine is at least relatively accurate. So they're probably in cities, especially cities that have been hit by Russia, they're probably not able to buy food and probably only have what they had on hand before this started. That's number one. Number two, with the grid going down, anything they had in the fridge or freezer is history. Number three, they may or may not have a way to cook. And number four, just leaving your shelter puts your life on the line. I mean, your life is on the line even in a shelter, but like just going outside to try to find something to scavenge to eat is a life-threatening activity.
I know. And then human waste becomes a problem. Trash becomes a problem.
Yep.
How long does it take?
They're undergoing a full-blown SHTF.
Yeah. When you are looking back at the Balkans and what happened there, when a city is under siege like this, like they are in their major cities, where the Russians are just surrounding them and shelling the heck out of them, how long does it take for a situation to turn critical and life-threatening? And I don't mean being killed by a shell. That's the direct threat. But I'm talking about these other things like malnutrition and disease spreading and not having clean water. When does this start to show up and become life-threatening?
I mean, just in a few days. If you don't have fresh water, you're going to start seeing problems in just a few days. So they're probably already experiencing those issues. But because the other issue seems more dramatic and it's more terrifying, they're not thinking as much about having a waterborne illness as they would, being shelled.
Well,
so I think they're probably already having serious problems.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, what was it? The Naval War College said, on the fifth day of a crisis, waterborne illnesses becomes the number one cause of death. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, absolutely.
But the problem they have, they can have all the water filters that we sell, but it's not safe for them to go back out. I imagine they could probably have a way to turn some of that snow into water, but would that be drinkable in your opinion?
Better than nothing. I'm not saying I would say, ooh, that looks great, but I would say it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and I just love the Russians. See, people want to defend Putin here, and I'm so sick of hearing this crap. He's a thug. He's a murderer. He's killed 126 journalists, and that's from international journalism bodies that say this. But here's the thing that bothers me. Oh, we're having a humanitarian ceasefire so the people can leave. Bullcrap. The only direction they're letting them leave is into Belarus or to Russia, and they can't drive. They have to walk. And if you got an 80-year-old grandmother who has a bad hip, how can she walk 80 kilometers?
Well, they're not just doing that. they're also bombing the people who are walking. They're bombing them. They're laying landmines along the route. No, they're killing people. They're saying you can leave, and then they're dropping bombs on these groups of people. It's not just that they're limiting where they can go. They're killing them as they leave. It's like it's used as a way to get them out in the open. It's absolutely disgusting.
When the occupation comes for the cities, let me take a couple of guesses, and I want you to draw upon your knowledge of the Balkans to take this and run with it. When they have occupation, I'm thinking they're probably not going to use regular military. They're going to bring in Chechens. They're going to bring in people from Donbass, the people who hate Ukraine and will have no trouble sitting in a church tower and picking people off from a tower.
Probably so. I mean, they've already sent assassins from Chechnya and other places to kill the president and his family.
It's amazing. When does mass death start in these subways and these underground respites that they have in places like Kiev?
I mean, it really depends. They seem like incredibly resilient people. I've been very, very impressed with their willingness to fight back and their patriotism and their bravery. And you know, they were leading a much less spoiled lifestyle than we do here in the United States before this all began. So, you know, they're probably accustomed to more hardship than we are. So if I'm making a comparison, you know, I think that they'll survive a fair bit longer in this scenario than a lot of Americans would. If it was an American city in the same situation, I would say within a month, though, they're just going to be no supplies.
I'm sorry, could you say that last part you cut out?
Oh, I said within a month, there are just going to be no supplies. There's not going to be anything left to scavenge, and it's really going to be hard to survive.
So let's talk about bottom line here. Most people, healthy people, how long do they live without food? How long do they live without water?
You know, the saying is 3 days and 3 weeks. 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. But long before your 3 days or 3 weeks comes up, you're going to be feeling really, really bad, and you're not going to be thinking very clearly. You're just not going to be doing too well. You're going to be able to push through on adrenaline for a while, but I mean, that's really, I think you can go a fair bit longer than that without food. You're going to feel like crap. You're probably going to have, you know, terrible blood sugar, pass out, things like that. But you know, people fast for 40 days at a time.
Not this person.
Not me either, but I'm just saying it's physiologically possible to do that, but not for everyone. You know, it depends on your health and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, I've done 40 days. I'm lucky if I can do a 12 to 14 hour fast.
Right, same here. I don't like to do that.
No, I typically will. I mean, I'll have water or coffee and, you know, the last thing I eat, because we have kind of a weird schedule, but we usually eat on the later side, so I don't eat until almost midday at noon on many days. And the thing is to go beyond 12 hours, I hear it, though, that when you're starving, the first day is the worst, the second day isn't as bad, and actually as you're deteriorating, you don't really feel that much pain. It's just you have no energy. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. I've done like a very protein sparing modified fast before, which just means basically you eat no fat, no carbs. You just eat like straight protein, so like egg whites and chicken. I'm not saying this is healthy. I'm just saying I've done it before. In that situation, I did it for a few months, and after the first week or so, I really wasn't that hungry, and I did adjust to having such a small amount of food. I was eating about 400 calories a day at that point.
Oh my God, the weight must have been falling off you.
Yeah, it was. It was actually for a magazine that I used to work for. I was trying various diets that and writing about it. It was a long time ago, like 25 years ago.
Did you get hazard pay?
No, but I got paid pretty decently for it. So that part was nice, at least.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. But getting paid for dieting, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, based on that, like, I can say that, yeah, the hunger part does go away to some extent, but not totally. Like, you're still going to be hungry. You're still going to wish you had food. You're going to dream about food.
Wow. I can't even imagine what these people are going through. When does disease kick in for these people, since they're in communal living that's not sanitized?
I mean, within a week. You can't go very long without good sanitation before you start getting sick.
What are the things that typically accompany illnesses related to lack of sanitation?
Usually like vomiting and diarrhea. Some waterborne illnesses also come with a high fever. If you can't keep yourself hydrated, you know, you're going to die. And so that is the most dangerous part of it. One piece of advice I just want to share with everyone: if you ever suspect that someone is suffering from a waterborne illness, do not give them anything like Imodium, because that keeps the virus or parasite in them, as opposed to your body being able to get rid of it. And that'll kill you faster than if you just let it go.
Like, that makes
really
a lot of sense.
The only thing you can do is try to keep the person hydrated. And the better way to do that is, you know, via an IV.
Yeah, but I don't think there are many IVs in the subways of these cities.
Probably not, unless somebody brought them there.
Wow. And then you have the aspect of how many needles do you have, and it's just a nightmare.
It is.
Yeah, and then you wonder how long hospitals can keep functioning. And then here's something else, and this concerns me too, just about our supply for America, which we'll get to in a minute. But you undoubtedly will have type 1 diabetics in Ukraine, and you're dead in a month if you don't get your insulin.
Yep. It's very true.
So it's just incredible.
It's so horrifying that I feel like I'm fear-mongering by talking about it, but I'm just telling you based on what I know from Selco and what I know from the course that I took over there and what I know from going through the genocide museum in Bosnia. Like, it's a horrifying situation. There aren't any good answers.
Are there things you can do? I'll give you an example. Let's say you were on asthma medication, okay, and so you're taking drugs that try to limit inflammation and increase airflow. But for some people, coffee does that because it contains a low level of theophylline. So just using that as an example, for a diabetic, for example, is there anything that you're aware of that they could do on a natural end if they don't have insulin?
That is it's not something I am familiar with.
Okay.
We do have somebody working on a prepping course for diabetics, though.
Yeah, that's a... If you're type 2, I mean, the fasting that's going to be imposed upon you is probably actually a good thing. But your stress level,
right.
Your hormones drive that up your blood sugar, too. So, you know, cortisol
yeah.
and stuff, that's bad for you, too. Yeah, I'm actually interviewing Dr. Ted Brower tomorrow, and he has Health Masters. So it's the largest natural mm-hmm. health foods in America, and I'm going to be asking him some of these questions. But they're popping into my head
right.
as I'm thinking about survival aspects. And Daisy, this is kind of outside where we're going, but I thought I would just mention this since we arrived on this square. If China decides to take advantage of the confusion and we step up our involvement and China goes after Taiwan, Taiwan will take out that Three Gorges Dam, and that takes out about 400 million Chinese, but it also mm-hmm. is where all our pharmaceuticals are. That would be things like insulin and treatment for cancer
yeah.
and stuff like this. And we're already having trouble.
A disaster of our own making.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. And you know, it's interesting. I was reading a speech that the defense minister of China made back in 2017, and he was advocating for the takeover of America for its resources, and we'll send 300 million colonists there. And if we have to go to war over it and we lose half our population, that's okay. We can replenish ourselves. That's the low regard for life that they have. They could care less if Americans get their medicine.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've threatened, not straight out threatened, but suggested if we weren't nicer people, we could do this. You know, just to let us know how much control they have.
Yeah, and the fact that... We don't have domestic manufacturing in these areas is just absolute negligence.
Yes.
And I would argue even for a government official, it's criminal negligence. It's crazy. Well, we've kind of landed here at the home square of America. Are there lessons that from the Balkans in the 90s and Ukraine today, are there lessons that every American should be taking to heart?
I mean... Honestly, if you are a vulnerable person, you're not a person who's going to be able to fight, you know, maybe you're elderly or you have small children or something like that, the earlier you evacuate, the better off you're going to be. You know, the people who evacuated before the bombing started, they got out intact. Yes, they're refugees, but they're not getting shelled. And I'm not saying this for everyone, because I know a lot of us we're not going to take off. We're not going to leave our homes. We're going to fight back if something like that were to happen to us. But there are some people who cannot fight back. And for those people who, you know, physically can't fight back or who are the caretaker of small children, then... leave early. I mean, that is my absolute best advice. Leave early.
Okay, but here's the problem. If you're in America, where do you leave to?
I don't know. Canada? South America?
Yeah, but South America is all communist now, except for Brazil, and they're hanging in the balance.
Oh, I know. It's a hot mess everywhere. I'm not saying that any of these are great ideas. At the very least, leave a city if you happen to be living in a city that is about to be under siege. At least get out of the city.
Yeah.
But again, that is not my advice for everyone, because I know good and well that a lot of Americans would be ready to go Red Dawn if we started having foreign soldiers in our streets.
You know, I think fewer would today than when that movie first came out in the 80s.
I agree completely.
That's just my... We're demasculizing men. It's interesting. I had an on-air discussion with my former DHS friend, Doug Thornton, and we both played football in high school, and we've talked about how they sissified the game in ways that didn't need to be sissified. And as a college, former college basketball coach, I can tell you they did the same thing in basketball, too. We've had an emphasis in our culture of taking away manhood from men. Have you noticed that, too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's terrible.
And so I think that directly translates into war preparedness. I mean, if you look at, you know, I'm old enough to remember that when we... I can remember my 7th grade PE teacher, and he was also our football coach. He said to us, and this is when Vietnam was still going on, and he said to us, you know, you complain about running sprints and all the drills we do. What do you think combat's like?
Right.
And so people thought of sports at that time as a manly pursuit, and really the ultimate goal is to teach you how to extend yourself, because one day your life may depend on it if you're fighting for your country. And that was a common belief. Today, it's not that way at all.
No.
It's amazing how the manhood is just gone away. And, you know, here, you know, and I'm going to brag for a second, okay, because I can no longer do the things I used to do athletically. I mean, I played college basketball, so obviously I'm a decent athlete. At 5'11", I'm a decent athlete to be able to have done it at that level. But I'm going to say this. I can't do the things I used to do with regard to speed and jumping ability and quickness. But when I'm in the gym, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not just talking about myself. When I look at people who look to be similar age to me, we work harder. We're on our cell phones a lot less. We're not listening to music every 5 seconds and carrying on conversations. We're in there to work. And I've noticed this over and over and over, that people from my generation that are men, when they go to the gym, they work a hell of a lot harder, you know, as a per 100% of their capacity, as do the younger guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
And this gets into national readiness. When you talked about people would go Red Dawn, I agree, Daisy, I totally agree with you. There will be that element that will go Red Dawn, but there'll be a hell of a lot more that might have 40 years ago that won't today.
Right. No, I can see that easily. And I also think that is extremely, extremely regional. So, you know, New York City, we might not have the same Red Dawn answer, but you go to the Deep South, or you go to the Midwest, or you go to the Southwest, and we got a lot more rednecks there. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, I live among them. Some people say I am a redneck because I live in Arizona, but I hear what you're saying, and I do agree with you on that. But here's why I'm going to this, because, you know, you teach people how to survive, but at the root of survival is self-defense. And that's kind of why I deviated into this, because you mentioned about the resilience of Ukraine. I've talked to some Ukrainians in this country, and I've actually solicited contact to me. And I asked them all the same question, among others: how many of the men between 18 and 65 are actually answering the call, and except for maybe an extraordinary circumstance where they got to care for a very sick relative, they're answering the call. And here's the answer I got over half the time. They said that probably about 80% are compliant, but the other ones who aren't compliant, they either comply or we shoot them.
Wow.
And that was an answer I got. And these are people who are talking to some of their relatives that are in Ukraine. And it's funny, the day after I heard this the first time, one of my friends who's an Iowa broadcaster sent me a Twitter. And a guy was driving down the street in one of the Ukrainian cities, I think it was the capital, and he came to a civilian checkpoint. And they had their AK-47s, and this is all real clear. And he's in plain clothes, and then he gets out of the car and starts running. So clearly he was an unwilling conscript. And they shot him down. They shot him down in the street.
Dang.
I saw that with my own eyes on Twitter. So,
my goodness.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying there's a little bit of difference there with peer pressure than we would have here. You know, we would say, if you have purple hair, you can go and hide somewhere.
Right. That's true. I just think that a lot of Americans would say, oh, hell no, and defend their home. Just maybe not, like you said, probably not as many as would have during the first Red Dawn.
Well, yeah, in our neighborhood, the people I know, in fact, we went through 8 years of fighting against McCain trying to steal our property without compensation out here. But most of the neighbors I'm friends with, they have M16, AK-47, shotguns, other stuff I won't mention here because I don't want anyone to visit me. I don't have that stuff, but I know people who do. And there would be resistance here. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I even warned McCain's people. I said, you know, I may be civilized and I'm not going to break the laws and attack federal officials. I said, there are people in our area who wouldn't think twice about it. And so there are elements, pockets of resistance. What would you generally tell people, though, at this time, if we have an economic collapse, which is entirely possible? We can't keep absorbing gas going up 20 cents every day, which is happening now in the greater Phoenix area. Eventually, the dollar's going to buckle and collapse, and runaway inflation will make food unobtainable. What would you recommend to people right now they should be doing today?
Well, I think that the most imminent threat for us in the United States right now is a cyber attack. Where that cyber attack comes from, let's just say it'll be blamed on Russia.
Yes, of course.
So I think that a cyber attack is the most likely thing to be the next big thing. I could be totally off on this. I'm just guessing on here. So for that, you want to be able to function without using the banking system. You need to be able to function without, you know, going to the grocery store and driving around and all that kind of stuff. You need to be able to function without infrastructure like running water and electricity.
Yeah. Okay. So what specifically would you tell people to have in their homes right now, besides things for self-defense?
You know, food, water, medication, not just prescription medication, but over-the-counter medication for different ailments that might crop up. You know, you want to cover all your basics. You want to have luckily we're coming upon summer, which gives us a little bit of time to get ready for next winter. But before next winter, you're going to want to look into secondary heating if you don't already have like a fireplace or something like that, and fuel for that heat or some other way to survive the winter. So really, you just need to be as prepared as possible to take care of as many of your own needs as you can. I wish I could just give you a list, but that list would be different for everyone. So it's just basically, it's your basics. That's really what we can do right now.
How much food would you recommend people store?
6 months or more. 6 months to as much as possible.
Okay, because I agree with you. The economists I'm talking to say if we do a financial meltdown like I suggested a few minutes ago, I asked about comeback and reestablishing normal services, even at a bare minimum level, and they said it could take 2 years to bring something back like that.
Wow.
And they said, no, can you have localization for problem solving? Yes, but you better be in a resource plentiful area, is what I was told.
Wow.
So it's, and that make total sense to me. Absolute total sense. For example, if you live in an agricultural community, you're going to have less pressing needs. And if you get well water, assuming we haven't had a nuclear war, you're probably going to be okay.
Right. So if you have a way to access the water.
But if you live on the 10th floor in a high rise in New York City, you got a problem.
Exactly. But while we're saying that, people live where they live. We can't just pick up and move to the boondocks.
Nope.
You know, like it's too late to make those kinds of changes. So we really need to think about where we are and figure out how we're going to make the best of where we are, or figure out somewhere that we can go.
You did that so masterfully on our TV appearance. I got to look that up. And folks, I'll put that out too on a future broadcast. I want to say it was October or November when you were on. And you went through and talked masterfully on TV about, you know, how you had turned your living quarters into self-sufficiency. And you did things that I never heard of. It was it was the most fascinating 50 minutes I ever spent on TV. It was absolutely fascinating. And so you can do that. But you have that stuff available on your website. So let's go there. How do people follow your work, and what will they get when they come to your site?
My website's theorganicprepper.com. And we publish two articles a day. One is more current events worthy, and the other is more like how-to. We are publishing either tomorrow or the next day a very quick anthology of all of our nuclear preparedness articles. You will be able to buy that. We're doing a name your price sale. You'll be able to get it for as low as a dollar.
Oh my gosh.
You can pay more. All of my personal books on my website are name your price. So
wow.
You can get it for a dollar, or you can pay more and help out the organic prepper.
See, I really respect that. I interview Clay Clark about once every 3 or 4 weeks. And Clay does that for his conferences. He goes around the nation. He has the Reawaken American Tour. He has great guests. And he has people name their price, just like you're doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
See, and that tells you that there's a lot of people like yourself who are really in the business of trying to help people.
Yes, yes. I mean, I've been dirt poor. And that leads me to my other website, The Frugalite, which may help you if you're trying to just, you know, manage a different financial outlook than you had before. TheFrugalite.com. I have been dirt poor, and I've had people say to me, you know, it really ruins the business for the rest of us when you give your stuff away. And I think that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. First of all, it's mine, and I can give it away if I want to. But secondly, they are so far removed from it that they can't understand not having $5.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I'm going to brag a little bit, but what I'm doing I don't think is quite on the level of you. Our TV show, for the annual plan, we charge $2.50 a month. That's the cheapest subscription service I know of. And we barely pay for bandwidth. That's the only reason I have a charge at all. And so what I'm saying here is that there's a lot of people. Steve Quayle is very generous. Ted Brower is very generous.
Yeah.
These people that I work with, like yourself, very generous people. And because we're trying to make knowledge available to people, because we want the maximum number of people to survive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when your neighbors are better prepared, they're much less likely to come try to take your stuff.
No kidding. I'm telling people right now in your home, build a false wall and store your storable food there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make
yes,
it really hard
absolutely.
To find. If you got it sitting
Don't
out in the pantry,
in
yeah,
place.
It's a problem. Daisy, we are flat out of time, but I'm glad we got to cover how people can follow you. Thank you so much for your expertise, and thank you for what you do.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I'll be in touch, because I have a feeling we're going to be doing a follow-up given what's going on. But we'll save that for another day. Thanks, Daisy. Take care.
Take care. Bye. Bye.